city of Easton, with a population of somewhere around 27,000 people, is one of the smallest third-class cities in Pennsylvania, and yet it has all the problems of any big city, partly because it is the entry point to the Lehigh Valley for the folks coming from New York and New Jersey. Its federal community development block grants are small and shrinking. It lacks the large philanthropic corporations that its sister cities to the west have. It also lacks the foundations and major philanthropists of Allentown and Bethlehem, and it even lacks the large congregations with missionary budgets that are more common to Bethlehem and Allentown. In short, Easton should be failing. However, Salvatore J. Panto, Jr. is the mayor. I'm Alan Jennings. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse on listener-supported community public radio, WDIY. I work normally as the executive director of the Community Action Committee of the Lehigh Valley, fighting all kinds of battles on behalf of truth and justice and poor folks. And once a month or so, I'm lucky enough to get this microphone to be able to reach out to the smartest radio listeners in Lehigh Valley about the public affairs issues that I think are important in our time. Sal Panto has been mayor of Easton, it seems, for his whole life. My guest tonight, then, is indeed Salvatore J. Panto, Jr. Sal, welcome.
Thank you, Alan. It's a pleasure to be here in one of my favorite suburbs of Easton, the city of Bethlehem.
I love it. You've got that Italian thing going on in Easton. We got Panto, we've got Volcano, we've got Kersey. What was the barber's name that was the guy?
Junta.
Yeah.
Gino Junta.
Yeah, right. Is the Rocky theme song then an Italian thing? Is it kind of like a victory thing? Is he like the music? What is it about the Rocky theme song?
Well, I like Rocky is my favorite movie. I mean, of all times. I think it's the downtrodden person who rises to fame by hard work and commitment to his goals. Obviously, it's the Larry Holmes connection in Easton because Larry was the same way. But mostly it was because Rocky, not only did Sylvester Stallone not only wrote the script, he demanded that he be the star. He was not even a movie. He was helping his mother in her beauty salon in Philadelphia, decided to go to Hollywood to make it big, and he happened to see the Chuck Wepner fight where he did go the full rounds, 15 rounds at that time, with Muhammad Ali. So there's a lot of symbolism there for me, and I've watched all the Rockies, even the latest ones, which he should stop making them now.
You've also got those kind of hands that are like boxer hands. Were you ever a boxer?
I used to box oranges down at the Easton Fruit Company. No, I used to work out with Larry Holmes. Believe it or not, I don't look like that anymore. But when Larry was at Sandy's Youth Center,
look like he beat the hell out of you.
No, he never hit me. It was one of these things where we used to get in the ring and just work out with Larry by punching him and hardening up his stomach and things like that. So no, I was never actually in a legitimate fight.
Yeah, I mean, you've got the hands. I mean, do you know what I mean? Those big.
Yeah, I know. They're hurting right now too. I have a pinched nerve, so this one is out of whack.
I hate getting old.
Yeah.
And the reason why I'm commenting on the Rocky theme song is most of my radio shows, I pick the music and music that I like and I think is relevant to the topic at hand. But with the three mayors, I've used the songs that are important to them. And so these songs, folks, are Sal Panto's chosen songs. I mentioned in the front end that it kind of feels like you've been mayor as long as I've known what's going on around here. But as much as people I think associate you with the mayor's office, it seems to me that your real passion is public education. Am I right?
Oh, without a doubt, public education to me is the foundation what this country was built on. We built ourselves. You know, everybody talks about this great republic that we have, but in reality, it was only white male property owners that really voted back in the colonial period. It was once they realized that people needed to be educated before you can actually vote. I wish that was still the case, but sometimes I wonder where people are voting, but that's besides the point. That's getting too political for me.
Well, we can do that.
Yes, we can. Public education to me is really what's lacking is the commitment to public education. At the state level right now, I'm very much a proponent with Mayor Nutter. I co-chair a group called CHAMPS, Children Advocates and Mayors for Public Schools. Our two goals there are primarily making the state live up to their commitment in the Commonwealth Constitution, which says they will adequately and effectively fund public education, which I don't think they do now. And secondly, to look at the funding formula, one of your big causes, You know, it's not the student that has the privilege of going to Parkland should not be different than the student who goes to Allentown or a Bethlehem school or an Easton school or any of the other schools where the wealth isn't there. So the tax base isn't there, the earned income tax and all those things that go to in public and the property tax don't go to them. It's not fair. A more equitable distribution of the for the funding formula, I think, is also important.
Plus, land use laws make sure that certain people won't ever live out where the public schools are best funded, you know, and that's, I mean, it's almost like Brown versus Board of Education never happened.
That's a really, really true. As a matter of fact, I had lunch yesterday. Susan, you set up a lunch for me with Gary Yasso, the Dean of Education at Lehigh, where I got my master's degree. And we had a lot of chat about exactly that, you know, where is education going and why isn't it the cure-all for all these social and economic ills? And we like to tell students that we want to make sure that they do well in school and they can and get ahead in life. But sometimes, you know, I think the pre-K is very important. Extremely important. So I really push that as well. And I use the mayor's office for that. As a matter of fact, at our last National League of Cities meeting in Washington, the fifth priority, we added a fifth priority to our goals, and that is public education. 90% of local elected officials in the United States have nothing to do with public education, like myself. I do not affect anything in public education.
But it sure affects your ability to be the mayor.
Exactly, and it affects our ability to move forward and have an educated populace, or we're going to start exporting all of our really good jobs to China, Japan, and our former communist adversaries, and or we're going to bring them here. But the fact of the matter is we need to educate our students and our young people so that they become the foundation of the next generation.
I consider it to be educational apartheid. I don't know why we can't find a constitutional hook to just turn the whole thing on its side, and it's really frustrating. And
well, you know, in Pennsylvania, it's really, really discouraging to me. I just spoke to the first annual gala of the Eastern Area School District Foundation. They started a foundation to try to help fund public school, and they asked me to be the speaker, and I spoke a lot about the need for education, the problems of education, and what we need to do. And two of the things that the state can do very easily is getting rid of the Delaware corporation loophole, yep, where the major corporations in the state do not pay one dime to the state, and put a 10% severance tax on fracking. That would raise $1 billion a year without affecting anyone. It's not a violation of any campaign promise. It's not a violation of his campaign promise. He promised that he would not raise taxes. He's not raising taxes.
He's taxing people that should be taxed and aren't.
That's correct.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So, you know, I think that's my take on education. I love education. I love teaching. It is still my favorite profession. I don't know what I'm going to be when I grow up. I've been a lot of things, but one thing is someday I'd like to get back into education. I really enjoyed it. I enjoy immensely what I do as mayor. Today I was with middle school students, the Medici group. We took them to the state theater. We have mentors that have been meeting with them. These are students that Dr. Simia and the teachers at Easton Middle School have identified as those with challenges but with some real skills. And it was a great opportunity for me to see them. We talked to them. Tomorrow, those students that did really well on our PSA, pick what they want to do. And one of the things is a limousine ride to City Hall, and I'll have lunch with them. I'll provide lunch for them. We'll talk about the history of the city and things like that. Anytime I can get back into the classroom, whether it's Lafayette College, Easton, Notre Dame High School, anything I can do for education, not just public education. Tomorrow night we have our big gala for Notre Dame High School at DeSales University. It's the Derby night. Well, not tomorrow night, Saturday night. We're only at Thursday yet. Days are just flying by. So, yeah, education is really important to me because we just don't make the commitment. We made the commitment after Sputnik, and look what we did. We put a man on the moon. It's going to take that same type of commitment to public education to make the difference, and we're just not willing to do it.
Save the planet. I mean, the whole species is at risk. You did your first stint as mayor in the mid-80s, and I think you were like 14 or something when you were elected.
I was 31.
31, okay. Yeah. When you look back on those early years, how do you rate that performance?
You know, I look. I am my harshest critic. I will tell you that right now. When I lost the election in 1991, I had served two terms in my third term. I knew that I was not campaigning as strongly as I should have. That I felt really strongly back then that if you do a good job, you're going to get reelected. Well, that's really not the case.
Yeah.
And I think I made the mistakes I made were the police department. You know, we had a lot of problems, a lot of lawsuits.
That went on for decades.
Yeah, and I not only did I inherit it, I think I left it to Tom Goldsmith. And I think it went on until just about 6 years ago when I came back and I said, we're gonna tackle this. But I think there were some good things that went on. We did a lot of good restoration of housing. We did a lot of neighborhood investments. And we were creating a lot of synergy in the city, but it faltered. We had the recession hit, and I was a subject of recession where Orr's department store went out of business, Joseph's men's store went out of business in the same year that I was running for election, and people just said, you know, hey, Sal, you did a good job, but it's time. Maybe Tom could do better. And Tom Goldsmith remains a good friend of mine. We talked to one another. I tried to involve him in some of the things we did. He was at our groundbreaking for the new City Hall. But I think I come back with a strong, and maybe too strong for government, a very strong private sector managerial skill set. I'm very, very, I really try hard to bring the finances into play on everything I do and everything we do. I have a good staff, a young staff. They're all younger than me. Even the city administrator, he laughs because he's younger than me, but not by much. But we have young staff, very professional in what they do. I didn't hire anybody who was just a political friend. Everybody has to have the skill set for the job. And we're making real good headway. There's a good synergy. People are feeling good about their city. And that's, you know, when you can get pride of place instilled in your community, that's when things really start to happen.
You know, Sal, I think one of the things that you've done extraordinarily well is hire impressive, really good talent. And you're right, they're young. But, you know, I mean, you've got and lost in the case of Becky Bradley. But, I mean, Gretchen Langenbach and Dave Hopkins. Yeah. And, I mean, these are really talented people.
You know, Chris Hagel brings a financial background that, you know, I was able to get him from the private sector because he was commuting. It's a funny story. I really can't tell it today. But the way I got him was basically he was looking for a job closer to home. Mm-hmm. Finally, he was starting to raise a family, lived on College Hill, and was commuting. So we were able to bring him in. And him being a numbers man, looked at the numbers of how much time he was spending, how much money he was spending commuting, saying, you know what? Your salary really isn't that far off of what my real net, true net is. So, you know, we've added some good people. We lost Becky, but we didn't. She's with the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission, and she's a phenomenal planner. She's a phenomenal planner. Everyone up there has thanked me for letting her go. But, you know, I don't ever want to hold back a director or any employee who can excel in something else and move on. I would feel very proud, and I do. I feel proud of what Becky's been able to do. But I've also would feel very disappointed if they went and just went to either a lateral or lesser job because maybe I was doing something where they just wanted to leave me. So I'm very much I'm extremely satisfied. I can't say enough about my entire staff, including all the employees. I mean, we've asked employees to start making co-pays and co-shares in our health care and prescriptions. We've asked them to take cuts in vacation time. And, you know, those things that government used to give that no one put numbers to are coming back to haunt local communities because my legacy cost for unfunded pension liabilities is now going to cost me $4.5 million next year. When I came in office in 2008, it was $600,000. Mm. And the state's trying to get us to fund this unfunded liability, although they're not helping us. The problems are we got to address that. We can't kick the can. For example, the city hall we're building is a 15-year note. No one builds a public building with a 15-year note. I don't believe if you can't afford it in 15 years, you shouldn't build it. And that's the way I feel. And my staff is very strong. Gleckman and Hagel and Hopkins and all of them. I mean, oh my God, Glory and our two chiefs, Scalzo and Bast, our fire department today, I'm very proud of. I'm proud of our police department for turning around. I'm proud of our fire department because they too want to get accredited. So they're training and they're going out into the community and talking to kids and hanging up smoke detectors for people who can't afford it. Those are things that I think we do well, and the employees are the ones who do them.
I think if Easton ever lets you get away, you ought to become a consultant on how to hire talent. Because I mean, I really think that's one of your really true talents.
Well, I will say I inherited Dave Hopkins from
that's
Phil
true.
Mittman.
That's right. Good
so
point.
I don't take credit for things I didn't do, but I will tell you one thing. I have a public works department that gets a lot done with very few employees.
What did you What did you learn? Did you learn anything from that first time around?
As I said, I learned more, I think, in the private sector, but I learned in that time that you can't take anything for granted. You have to work, and you got to continue to work every day on getting reelected, unfortunately, in your election year. But also, I learned that you can't trust everyone.
Really?
Yeah. You can't trust everyone.
I trust you, Sal, just saying.
Thanks, Alan. I trust you, too.
Yeah, thanks. You had a lot to do with the creation of the current charter, which to me seems like an unprecedented amount of essentially, I mean, I hate to use the word, but power in the mayor's office, because not only do you run the city on a daily basis, but you also chair the city council.
Yeah, but I did lose the veto power, which I never used in 8 years anyway, so I didn't really care. It became when I made the decision to run for mayor, I backed off of pretty much the executive branch, but the council, legislative and everything else. My goal there was to bring those professionals prior to the new charter. I think the biggest aspect of the new charter that really makes a lot of sense is the fact that we've taken the part-time position of treasurer and made it a true finance department, and the finance director now controls both sides of the ledger. When I was in office in the 80s, your treasurer was really responsible for bringing the money in, and I was the mayor was responsible for how we spent the money, where we spent the money. So every year, even though I may have come in under budget on expenses, if the treasurer's office wasn't bringing in the revenue that we were expecting, we had a budget deficit. Now we have a true finance department. We run it like a business, and we look every month, what's our revenues? Are we on target, under target, over target? Where do we adjust the expenses for that? So that we know now that we will have a surplus by the end of this year again for the seventh year in a row. Because we look at it every month. And I think that's probably the biggest change of creating that professional finance department. Even though all the people are the same people, we're now responsible to the finance director, who's responsible to the city administrator, who's responsible to the mayor. As far as council, I mean, I don't look at myself as having power on council. I mean, I guess I could exert some, but we have a good council. I mean, our council really is almost too collegial. I mean, we very rarely will disagree on anything, and they're all very astute. They do their homework, and they ask a lot of questions. They'll call their directors up. So there's very little. Some of our meetings are only 30 minutes long, and there's very rarely is there any argument.
Contention.
And contention. I was trying to look for a word like argue, because I don't think we shouldn't be contentious. We have a motto: we could disagree, but not be disagreeable.
It seems, with all the pressure of modern governance, that every elected official experiences some kind of controversy. What are you waiting for? Yeah. I mean, seriously, I'm kidding, but seriously, how have you avoided that kind of controversy that seems, to affect almost everybody? I mean, there's, it's complicated. The rules change. Everything I do, I try to figure out if it passes what I call the reporter test. And those reporter tests change every day, it seems.
We've been fortunate. Again, we haven't had that major controversy, both personally as a professional mayor,
yeah, you've
a political
avoided
mayor.
Scandal. The city stayed out
of trouble. I hope I always avoid scandal. I try to live my life as a good life, and I do that professionally as well. I hold my staff to that same level. I could tell you that you're not going to find me doing anything unethical. I'm not going to accept any bribe or any money or any lunches. I'm very careful. For example, when I did the State of the City, the Chamber of Commerce gave me a $50 gift card for downtown. That was really great, but the charter says we can only accept $25. So I put it in writing to thought that maybe I could donate it to a charity. I got an opinion from the solicitor. He says, no, you have to give it back, and you can't tell them what to do with it. So I sent it back to the chamber.
Yeah, I would do what you originally instinctively thought, which would be to give it to my employees, typically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I watch the employees. I they know that they know how I am. So it's been I think that's the reason why we can avoid controversy. I did not have that luxury back in my first two terms, back from 84 to 92. So maybe that's something I learned.
Well, we're going to take a short break. Again, keep in mind the songs are coming from the mayor himself. And one of the things that I keep forgetting to do, because I am, after all, an amateur, is reminding everybody this is Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY, listener-supported community public radio. Otto is over there working the machinery to keep me from having to screw everything up. So, Otto, thanks very much, because I know you're a volunteer. My guest, if you haven't figured it out, is Mayor Sal Panto of the City of Easton. Stay with us. We've got plenty more to talk about.
The long and winding road that leads to your door will never disappear. I've seen that road before.
For program support on WDIY, we thank the Allentown Environmental Advisory Council, presenting their second annual Sustainable on Saturday, May 3rd, from 6 to 10 p.m. at the Allentown Brew Works, a celebration of Lehigh Valley initiatives to protect and sustain Allentown's environmental resources. For more information, 610-437-7610.
You're listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
Ooh, I've been running down this dusty road. Ooh, the wheel in the sky keeps on turning. I don't know where I'll be tomorrow. Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
If people are listening and wondering who in the world is running Alan Jennings' show tonight, because people know I wouldn't play Journey unless I had a gun held to my head. Sal didn't hold a gun to my head, but it is his choice. What the hell's up with Journey, Sal? You don't
Journey,
like
I
mean, the
you know,
Journey
Don't Stop Believing is one of my favorite songs also. Journey, Wheel in the Sky, Keep on Moving, I Don't Know Where I'll Be Tomorrow. These are things that, you know, they excite me. I love Don't Stop Believing. I think that's something, you know, was Clinton's campaign song, because it really is true. If you don't believe in yourself, you don't believe in the future, you won't have one. So, but the other one you didn't ask me about was Long and Winding Road.
Now, well, obviously, but that's a way cool song. I mean,
but
it's,
it is.
A freaking Beatles.
You,
I mean.
I'll relate that back to my education. When I was a teacher, I did a show, and if any of the students are listening, I did a show every Friday, a slide presentation. At that time, there was the old film strips, and we got it every week about the current events. My students had to read the newspaper, at least the front page and the Metro page, every night. And it was during Nixon's resignation. Hmm. And we were doing it, and I did a whole slideshow on Nixon and his resignation, and the last part was how it was the long and winding road that he really went through a lot of trials and tribulations. What should he do? What should he not do? And so that became the song. And I just said, you know what? That's a long and winding road. We just have to keep moving forward.
You know, I think the older you and I get, I passed you in how old we look. I mean, you look younger than me now, but you're older than I am, aren't you?
I'm 62.
62, for crying out loud. The Journey was like people in their early 50s. You were listening.
Well, you got
to
remember, I was a DJ.
Oh, cool.
And so okay. I could talk to you about any of the current good songs, too.
Well, I could switch to rock and roll conversation.
That's why. I mean, I do stay up with the modern things. I still download a lot of the on Amazon. I'll buy a lot of the current things. In case, like, I was supposed to do a fundraiser for the Third Street Alliance, but they had to cancel it. And when they had it, when they rescheduled their big gala, their bistro, I was in Washington, so I couldn't do it anyway. But I do download the songs I really like, the current songs. And so that's where it goes.
All right. What excites you most about where the city is these days?
This is going to sound corny, but I'd have to say the positive attitude more and more people are feeling every day about their city. We're getting less and less. Oh, you'll never make it. Oh, we'll never get there. Oh, you'll never do the Pomeroy building. When I was in office last time, we were doing a lot of good things in the downtown, bringing a lot of new stores and new shops. But what are you going to do about the Pomeroy building? I always heard about that. Well, now the Pomeroy building is done.
That's
and
nice.
I think it makes a big difference that people start walking around. In my State of the City for the Chamber, I did the very beginning, I did about 30 slides of 15 buildings that what they looked like in 84, like the old set, the old version of Set de Luna, where we almost lost those buildings. The post office wanted to tear them down, and we saved them. And it was my first visit to the Advisory Council on Historic Preservation in Washington, D.C. Lo and behold, ratchet it back about 20 years. Last year at their annual meeting, they invited me to speak so about what was going on in Easton. So I said to them, I said, my first venture with your group was when I came down here to save these three buildings, and I showed them what they looked like in 1984, and then I showed them what they look like today, and they just went, wow.
Yeah,
and I was able to pull more money out of that group for the silk mill.
Cool.
It's the only reason I went down. I didn't get anything for speaking to them, but certainly those relationships, as you know, are critically important to anyone running for local government that thinks they just have to worry about their own little community.
Nah. No,
I use OPM, other people's money.
You bet.
And we've had over $60 million in grants in the last 6 years, and that's what a lot of it is doing.
The cost of the city keeps rising. Stranded pension costs, which you've already mentioned, the cost of insurance, the gasoline you put in your police cruisers and your trucks. You know, you try to give your staff pay increases if at all possible. But I don't think your tax base is rising. So how do you pull it off? And is 2015 going to be the year you finally have to do a tax increase?
No.
I don't know how you keep doing this.
We'll be fine. We have about $1.5 million gap right now that we have to close, but that's what it's been about every year. And the big thing, the reason we're doing the way we're doing it is on the revenue side, we enhance the revenues where we can, and we obviously hold down better purchasing, better. We do a capital campaign now, a capital budget that we use one time and one shot revenues, where before the one shot revenues used to go into the general fund, and then if you put a If I get $300,000 this year from sewer and water hookups, and I put that in the budget, and next year we have a recession like we're in right now, and we don't get that, I got a $600,000 gap because I spent the $300,000 this year. I still have those same expenses next year, but I also have a less $300,000 on the revenue side. So we look very carefully at those things, and better collections. We're doing a better job with compassion, trying to get people to do what they can to pay their bills and their utility bills. We turn off water when people aren't paying. We're more than happy to put them on a payment plan and work with that. But we run our utility company like a business. We shouldn't be running it like government. The other thing we do is I get out and I find money wherever I can. The casino money. Next year, our casino money this year will top $800,000.
Really? Wow.
Now, the prior administration, Phil, for some reason, I don't know what the reason was, but we get no money from the city of Easton from the slot machines. Now, well, you could say what you want about casinos, about slot machines, about gambling. I don't care. What they're giving money away, and I want my piece
Take
of the
it,
pie.
You bet.
So what happened was they can't reopen that formula. So Allentown gets about $1.5 million a year from slots. Bethlehem gets their share, of course, because they're the host city. But here we are, the county seat, and we're not getting anything from the slot machines. Even the contiguous five municipalities are getting their share, but we're not. So when the idea of table games came up, I immediately went to three people who were very much a part of this. And that was Senator Boscola, Senator Brown, and Mayor Callahan. And I said, look, I want to be a part of this. I went to the public hearings. I went to the PCN shows. I went to everything and made my presence known. And Brown, Boscola, and Callahan made sure that we were cut in. Initially, we were talking $300,000, $350,000. This year, we'll be up over $800,000. So, same way with any kind of revenue with grants that will pay for something that we don't have to pay for. We'll be announcing a grant tomorrow that we're getting from the county. We've been very good. The county's been treating us well over the last 6 years. And John Brown will be in my council chambers tomorrow announcing a grant that will help us with something that I think is going to be really neat. And I'm looking forward to that press conference. So we try to do it as much as we can with OPM, with other people's money. Like people say, oh, you know, you spent all that money on South 3rd Street. It looks nice, but why don't you do it in the neighborhoods? Well, because we were able to get PennDOT to do that, and they don't do the neighborhood streets.
Yeah, we've brought you some money.
Oh, absolutely.
The West Ward. Yeah.
The West, and you know what? The West Ward, they started doing that the park already. Godshall's landscaping is there.
Cool, huh?
Yeah, it's really going to be neat. And I think those little things, really, you know, it really is the broken window theory. Mm-hmm. And I subscribe to that immensely, that if we can do little things, and my staff knows I'm very picky, even if we're picking out a sign and the sign's put up crooked, no, every little thing adds up. And then, of course, I have to tell you that Crayola experience is obviously a coup. It took us 20 months to negotiate out of the McDonald's contract. It took us time to make sure Crayola was staying in Easton because they were starting to get anxious and looking at other places. The National Canal Museum moved out. We were able to get McDonald's out, and people said, oh, you paid them $300,000. Yeah, we did, but we made that back in the first year. Right now, our biggest problem in downtown is parking. Our garage...
That's a good problem to have.
It's an excellent problem to have, and our new garage will be done this fall, and it really is becoming a place where people... Crayola is so busy that sometimes you go there on a weekend at 11 or 11:30 and they tell you, okay, you can come back at 2 o'clock. That puts people out on the street, which is really good.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. And the public market that
in the Weller Center. We put $1 million into that. I mean, that was like unheard of. We could have never done that before. But when we did the City Hall bond, we said, okay, we're going to give the Greater Easton Development Partnership a $1 million grant to open up a public market. And I'll tell you what, that's going to add a lot to the downtown.
It's very cool. I'm remembering this time to mention that you are listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY, listener-supported community public radio. I'm your host, Alan Jennings. By day, most nights, and every weekend for that matter, I'm the executive director of the Community Action Committee in Lehigh Valley. Tonight, I get to bring Sal Panto, mayor of Easton, to the smartest radio listeners in Lehigh Valley. So let's keep firing away here, Sal. I guess you're not going to divulge any secrets. You got any new projects that we ought to be hearing about?
We are always working 2 years ahead. I think the Easton Home Project in the West Ward is one that I really want to bring to fruition. I've met with them a couple times. I've met with potential investors. The Presbyterian Homes are looking to raise about $1.5 million locally, and it's probably about a $10 million project. New construction is something we don't have in Easton. We have a lot of great restoration, but the new City Hall project is being met with a lot of angst because people say, "Wow, look, there's cranes down here." There's, you know, they haven't seen that in a long time in downtown since the Larry Holmes building was built. So that happening out in the West Ward, I think will have a real positive impact with what the West Ward Neighborhood Partnership is doing.
What about the Armory? I mean, what a building!
The good news is that the Armory was sold, and the gentleman who owns it is really working to do something with it. He's looking for example, one of his ideas was a public market. Well, obviously, he's not going to put a public market down two blocks from another public market. There's a lot of good ideas. He has an architect that's working on designs and some thoughts. So I don't think you're going to see it in the next year and a half, 2 years. But I think you're going to start to see some improvements to the facility in the next couple of months, and then you're going to ultimately see a project announced that will go in there.
Let me see. Where am I lost here? I already talked to you about the talent that you've brought in. The restaurants, they keep coming. I mean, this fish place looks pretty cool.
It's excellent. I mean, it's sometimes you can't get a reservation, but yet the other restaurants are filled also. You know, that's our newest one downtown, and it's not going to be our last one. There's going to be more. I always worry about the balance. You know, when do you have too many? The good news is we have restaurateurs that are experienced. Where you have a problem with restaurants is where people think, oh, I can cook at home. I'm going to open up a restaurant. And they see the glamorous things of a restaurant, and they don't realize you're working all day preparing, all night serving, and you have no clue, and then they go out of business. The worst thing that can happen to any downtown is what happened before for us. They would open and close, open and close. Well, they've opened. The first one that actually opened is still open. It was probably 12 years ago. It was the River Grill.
River Grill.
And then
terrific.
They opened up Ocean. And then they opened up a number of other ones open around
Sogo.
Them. And then Sogo and then Valenza. And then you have Set de Luna open up. Then you have Maxim's. And then you have the 3rd and Ferry Street.
Cheeburger.
They're all different is my point. I say we have the United Nations of restaurants. We have a Portuguese restaurant. We have a Mexican restaurant. We have Italian restaurant. But we don't have 12 Italian restaurants. You know, we have Set de Luna, Colonial. Then we have a couple good pizzerias.
The one
Antonio's
on the south
Gino's.
Side.
Tommy's.
No. As you're going up toward Philadelphia Road.
Yeah. Tommy's Hilltop.
No, it's on the right.
On the right.
If you're going up.
St. John Street.
Yeah, it's an Italian name. It's an older building that was really nicely redeveloped. It's as you're making the hook.
Solomio.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's Tommy. It's Tommy Solimio. I'm sorry. We're talking about, yeah, that was vacant for over 15 years.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine, Frank Tolada, did that. And he renovated, he put it together. Now he's leased it to Tommy and his wife. And they're doing a great job. It's a phenomenal place. I live about three blocks from there, so Pam and I are there quite often. And we like it. And it's, you know what? The price point, I mean, you can go there, not to give him an advertisement, but you can go there and get a salad, a chicken parmesan, veal parmesan, or eggplant parmesan, and a side of pasta for $9.99.
Huh.
And it's very good.
Is that lunch or dinner?
No, dinner.
Really?
Lunch, he has $6.99 specials.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, and there's a lot of places like that in town. I mean, it's not just that one, Solimio, but, you know, it's working for us, and we've become the culinary destination. I could tell you we're pulling from Hunterdon County, Clinton. I mean, we're pulling from some very wealthy areas of New Jersey, not just the Lehigh Valley.
Simon Silk Mill. I mean, it's such a huge project. It's got so many moving parts and everything. Where are you with that?
We are under construction. Mark VM Development has the first two mills that they've started. They'll be open to the residential apartments probably around mid to late December of 2015. The road is scheduled to be done hopefully by the end of the year. We're building a boulevard, the city boulevard, from 13th Street to Bushkill Drive. So it goes right through the property. And frankly, I will tell you, I got that from the Sands Boulevard. Remember the first one, the steel stacks, they built the road, and everybody said, where's this road go? It doesn't go anywhere. There's nothing back there.
Yeah.
It had the beautiful street lights and everything. Well, we're doing the same thing because people need to get from one end to the other, but they also need to see that we're going to build that one first. And then phase one, Mark didn't want to wait till the road was done. He's already started it, and matter of fact, he even has two of the new windows in there so people can see what it's going to look like. He's taken the old windows out, have them refinished, and thermal pane put in instead of the regular windows. So he's using the exact same wooden windows for the historical correctness. This summer, they expect to repoint the brick on the 13th Street side, which everyone sees as the mill. So it's moving along very well. I mean, that was a huge project. You're right. A lot of moving parts. When I first hired Gretchen, her and I sat down, and, you know, and what I said was, I've worked for enough developers. I worked for Charlie Schrin and Gary Strausser to know that there's not a developer in this country that's going to come in and spend the due diligence they need to spend before they even decide if they can do the project. So we did all the due diligence.
Yeah.
She worked with Lou Pector, so she had a good training from Lou. And we put together the arts market. The arts market came in and did the marketing study to see whether a creative arts place would work. That proved it would. And we went after grants to do the asbestos removal, the lead removal, the soil remediation, to do the master plan. Spillman Farmer did the master plan. We did structural analysis of all the buildings. There's no way a developer is going to do the structural analysis and spend maybe $1 million. So we have probably, I don't know, $6 or $7 million of grants in that project.
Before we go to break, just a quick question. This is actually not a question that you can answer real quickly, but let me throw it at you. You know, there are a lot of us in Lehigh Valley who see regionalism as the solution to, I mean, the whole region's issues. You, Sal, have been, I think, the most articulate, the most passionate, the most outspoken in support of regionalism, and selflessly so. Just, you know, talk about your perspective on that.
You know, again, I think it's my I'm a Democrat and always be a Democrat, and I love it being a Democrat, but I have a lot of business sense because I was in business for 28 years. I worked for Charlie Schrin, I worked for Dr. Emil Diorio, and I worked for Gary Strausser, three very successful entrepreneurs. And when I look at the Valley, I try to look at it as a business. Just in the Easton area, forget the rest of the Valley, we have four fire trucks that are ladder trucks. They're $1 million each. So that's $4 million of taxpayers' money that's being spent on a piece of equipment that should be used regionally. There's no doubt about that. But we don't see that because of the parochialism. So when I look at how we can bet, you know, there's 20 different water authorities in the Lehigh Valley. We could go on
now
and on, duplicate,
40.
Triplicate. Now, yeah. So we could do all that. But what I really look at is job creation. We will not move this valley ahead and help our poorer people until we bring in good, sustainable jobs. So whatever I can do, like I was at some of the PennDOT meetings for Route 33 interchange for Charlie Shrin, and not because Charlie was one of my former bosses and I worked with him, not because Palmer Township couldn't handle it, just because they wanted a mayor there. So fine, I was there. Then, you know, Palmer Township took the ball and ran with it, and that's going to create jobs. And we need to make sure that the jobs we bring in are not flipping burgers or you know, I have a young lady who lives over at Neston Heights, our new Hope 6 project. And we were talking about the community was against a project that the housing authority wants to do. And they weren't talking very nicely about people like her. Mm-hmm. And she finally says, you know, you're talking about me. And let me tell you,
good for her.
I live alone. I'm a single mom. Here's my son who was silent during this whole meeting, didn't say a word. He's very polite. I'm raising him on my own, and I'm working at the same job for 7 years. And I make $9.50, and I only get 29 hours a week. And, you know, I looked at her and I said, articulate as heck. We have her photograph display in City Hall in the city council chambers for about 3 months. Very talented young lady. That's what I want to do. I want to create jobs for these young people. I want them to stay here. My daughter gets laid off from the East Area School District. Where she goes? She has to go to Newark.
Wow.
It's a brain drain of the whole valley. We need to keep our young people here.
When was the last time you invited Wilson, West Easton, Tatamy, Glendon to the dance? I mean,
we have a two-reverse cog.
They don't. I mean, you need to be one single community, and it just doesn't make any sense to me.
I stay out of that conversation because people think, oh, you just want to be mayor of a bigger city. I'll give it up. I believe so much in regionalism that I would forego my position if we were going to do that, because that's how much I believe in it. And I also believe, and when I got out of office in 91, I wanted to do this. I am convinced that if someone like the Lehigh Valley Partnership took up this cause and regionalism, I guarantee you everyone's taxes would go down because of efficiency.
Sure it would. All right. I love Sal Panto Jr. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse. You're listening to community-supported public radio, WDIY. Stay with us. We got another segment coming up.
When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go downtown. When you've got worries, all the noise and the hurry seems to help, I know. Downtown, just listen to the music of the traffic in the city. Linger on the sidewalk where the neon signs are pretty.
Lehigh Valley weather, currently 71 degrees under partly cloudy skies. We're expecting partly cloudy night with a low temperature around 44 degrees. Tomorrow, a slight chance of showers and a high around 68 degrees. Looking ahead to the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, there is a chance of showers each day, perhaps later in the day, and the temperatures will be in the mid to upper 60s.
Celtic Fair, a celebration of Celtic music and culture, from its roots in Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Galicia, and Brittany, to its branches in Australia, Cape Breton, Canada, Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, and the Lehigh Valley. Bringing you music, interviews, and a weekly culture calendar every Thursday from 7 to 9 on WDIY Allentown listener-supported community public radio.
Asked 66 questions already?
I think so. I think we're up to that many.
You know, I tell you, I got to thank you for putting that song out because I love that song. I forgot how good it is.
Oh, it's great.
I don't think I've listened to it in 20 years. And since I got it off of iTunes for this show, I bet you I've listened to it 15 times.
Yeah,
and
I love
that
this
was
song.
Just like yesterday.
That was another song from my teaching days.
It
was just an easy, you know, question 67 and 68.
Great song. Right? Serious Punch in the Horns.
Well, I love Chicago. That's one of my favorite groups. If I had five groups, they would be my top five.
Yeah, that lead singer, of course, committed suicide in Chicago. In my judgment, was never as good, but a great song. So thanks for getting that to me. A lot of us, Sal, as you know, I won't necessarily say who, encouraged you to run for county executive last year. You passed. Do you regret it?
No, not at all.
Yeah? No. How's your relationship with John Brown?
Good. I mean, you know, John and I were friends before, and we had a good relationship before. We have a good relationship now. I'm sure we do. I mean, he's still new, just like Bob Donchez, the mayor of Bethlehem. I have a great relationship with him, but we've had to cancel our first lunch that we've not been able to reschedule. He's, you know, when you're in your first quarter, even your first 6 months, you're busy.
Yeah.
And even putting in a meeting with a guy like me is going to be a secondary or tertiary type appointment.
Yeah, I got to get him on the show. He's a smart guy. He's got, like you, a business perspective. He's also had some pretty rough and tumble first few months.
Well, he's going to have a lot more if he really wants to do the job right. And I've had that conversation with Callahan before I backed out. I never really wanted to. I had some people who were pushing me hard. And they did the polling, and they showed me the poll results and everything. It wasn't a matter of the polling results or whether I would win or not. It would be like Joe Dodona used to say, I won, now what do I do?
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
it's like the dog that chases a car. You know, what do you do when you catch it?
And that's what it came down to. I see Northampton County blaming the Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corporation and everyone else for their lack of development in Northampton County. Oh, you do more for Lehigh than you do for – that's baloney.
It is.
Lehigh County is so much more progressive than Northampton County. We didn't
Not
do
anymore.
The, we didn't do the – well, you may be right there because some of the things that I think are really important, like the bi-county health when Northampton was against it, and they voted against the crime data center. I mean, these are things that we should be doing in the Valley. These are proven efficiencies that work and make for better quality of life, and we're not part of that. And I really, you know, I would be pushing for those types of things. I would be pushing for, even the judges probably wouldn't like me because I'd be pushing for night court. Why are we going to keep building more and more courtrooms? Let's have somebody work at night when I can go to court rather than having to take off. Every other major city has night court. Well, we don't. So I think I would go in there with the attitude that I hope John Brown has or any elected official. I always go in there with saying, you make the decisions for the long term, not the political term. My staff knows that. My staff knows that whatever the decision has to be for the good of the city, we make it. Whether it's politically good or not, we make that decision for what's good for the city. So it's called making decisions for the long term, not the political term. And in Northampton County, that may mean someone, Bill Brackbill was a perfect example. Bill Brackbill was visionary. I like Bill.
Yeah,
and I was in mayor, and he was the Republican county executive. We got along great because we shared the same ideas. Once you're elected, you need to get rid of the aisle. You got to get rid of that party mentality. It's great during a campaign, but my gosh.
I think at the local level, most of the electeds in the Lehigh Valley get over the ideological, because ideology is almost meaningless at the local level.
Absolutely.
You know, the further up the line you go, it becomes more and
Absolutely.
More. Absolutely. And let's go there. I mean, you know, there is a lot of political, I mean, there's a lot of policy at the state level that affects your ability to run an effective city. If you were able to pick, say, one law in Pennsylvania that you think would, you know, most benefit Easton, and you could go in and smack the governor upside the head and say, you know, you got to get this right, what would it be?
Well, I'll tell you what. I had Senator Boscolo, who now represents Easton in our area, with her local chief of staff, Joe Kelly, and her Harrisburg, her real chief of staff, Stephen DeFrank. I had them on a tour of the city last Thursday. And I gave her 10 issues that I thought were really pertinent to our city. Some of them were grants. Some of them were just legislative law changes that wouldn't cost the state a dime. And you're going to think I'm crazy because you're probably going to think it's pension or Act 95 or 111.
It would be the municipality's planning code for me.
Well, that's one of them. But, along that line, would be greater autonomy for local municipalities.
Mm. We're the too much to children. The way you want to tax.
We're too much to children of the state, yeah. And the state has left us. They are the dysfunctional family.
Yeah, they don't do anything. They cause the problem, and then they take away any opportunity you have or any tools you should have to fix the problem.
For example, we're not allowed to use radar. Speed has become a real problem in our cities. Yeah. But we're the only state in the whole country that doesn't allow local police to use the radar. And everything else is very costly because you need two officers or three officers. You have to have it right or they challenge you in court and win. So, and it just, I mean, we're getting some people, clocking people 70 miles an hour. Jeez. And, you're talking about neighborhood streets where kids are playing and it's just wrong. And the other one, believe it or not, is like in the West Ward, we have a real problem with parking. Well, in cities, most of our streets have our buildings 10 feet from the curb because you're a city. You're not 40 feet setback like the suburbs.
Right.
But the state laws are based on suburbs, not on cities.
Right.
So if I pull up if I pull up to park, I got to park 30 feet from the curb. My car's not blocking the sight distance.
Yeah.
It's the building. So why shouldn't I be able to park two more cars per street at an intersection? That's 6 to 8 more cars per block that I could put in the West Ward and College Hill and South Side and even downtown. And then when you have somebody has an alley or a driveway, they want the sight distance. Some of those sight distances are 60 feet. People are going crazy. We have not made one. Well, we just did one last week. I was upset about, and we're correcting that. But we've stopped putting yellow lines in because people think it's the yellow line. No, the law is 30 feet. Mm. Whether the yellow line's 10 feet or not, it's 30 feet. I think overall, the taxing, all those things that make us the child and then the parent, with lack of funding, lack of support, communities need to, for example, we have all these gin mills downtown, and well, Allegheny County can have an alcohol tax, but we can't. Philadelphia can have a lot of different.
City. They have a law that allows second-class cities.
Remember the percent for sales tax for local communities?
Yep, 1% for the Valley.
Look at Philadelphia. They got it, but
they
didn't. 1% for the Valley.
Yep.
I mean, you had good people like Andy Dobbs supporting that. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, Andy, the second most expensive thing I buy in my lifetime is a car.
Yep.
And he's saying, this is good for the community.
Yep.
And he was on board with that.
Yep.
And those are the things I think are really that the public doesn't understand, that my hands are tied. When they get that ticket or they don't understand that the state really does tie our hands too much. On the bigger issues, just like I would propose when we got to the parochialism of the Valley, I would never propose a merger of the communities, even into Easton area.
I would.
What I would propose as an initial step is a metro government. I think a metro government like they have in a lot of southern, like Nashville, is really the opportunity to take all those things that can be done on a larger efficiency, like water, sewer,
police,
48 fire.
Police departments.
Some of them have one person.
Yeah.
So I think a metro government takes all those big things, but the local communities retain their name, they retain their parks, their recreation, their streets, but the big things are done regionally to save everyone money.
You're listening to listener-supported Community Public Radio. This is WDIY. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm your host, Alan Jennings. My friend Otto, the volunteer over there, has been very helpful. And my friend Sal Panto, the mayor of Easton, is my guest tonight. What about at the federal level? One law that you would change?
I would give the cities federal revenue sharing and drop community development block grant.
Got it.
Community development block grant gets cut.
Yeah.
And the amount of bureaucracy that it requires. The Congress will appropriate $1 billion, and of that $1 billion, only about $600 million gets out on the street because there's so many. You have to have a consultant. Federal revenue sharing was a good program. It just distributed it back to the city. It says, we want you to use this money to affect the poor, create jobs, do things. I mean, I can remember back when I first took office in 84, before revenue sharing went out, maybe 85, 86.
No, revenue sharing was about 84.
I had it my first year. Because we had about 100 employees on the city on that program that they weren't identified as federal employees.
Right. Okay, so let's talk politics for just a second. Who wins the primary election for governor on the Democratic side?
I was going to say Corbett on the Republican side. On the Democratic side, that's a tough one. I think Tom Wolf is definitely he's the front end, the front leader. He's so far ahead. I don't think anyone can catch up. I think the only one that has a chance is Rob McCord. Between the two of them, I like both of them. I will tell you, I haven't endorsed either
one.
But I think Tom Wolf will ultimately win. My concern about Mr. Wolf is his ability to not be considered an outsider in Harrisburg. You still need the governor needs to work with the legislature,
yeah.
And that legislature is really difficult. We're fortunate in Easton; we have Buscola and Freeman. They're good, hardworking legislators. But I could tell you, there's a lot of them across the state. You just can't get anything done. And that's my only concern about Tom Wolf. I think he brings that business expertise. He is from out of the area. He does have the Secretary of Revenue experience, but right. I don't, you know, and I also know that Rob McCord ran statewide already, so I think he has the soldiers out there and the horses that could bring us a Democratic
victory.
Isn't
it weird, though, that the Democratic Party's two front runners are a big, wealthy corporate CEO and a venture capitalist.
It's
I mean,
amazing,
you know, it's
it?
Like war.
Well, it just
hate,
goes to show that Democrats
white,
can also
peace.
Be business people.
Yeah,
it's about your what you do with your money is important.
Yeah. What's next for you? You're going to be Papa Doc Duvalier of Easton. I mean, you don't have term limits, right?
No.
So you can be mayor 50 years from now.
Oh, no, that's impossible.
I mean, you're having enough fun. I mean,
I'm having a great time. I love what I do. And I go everywhere. I really believe that the mayor has to be visible, has to be the cheerleader of the city, but also has to be the person who makes it happen. And I have a staff and residents. Oh, my gosh. Last Saturday, we had our annual spring cleanup, and we had Arbor Day. Between the West Ward, College Hill, and Southside, there were people all over downtown. We had college students. We had high school students. That's what I want to see. I mean, I'm not, you know, people say, oh, you're doing a great job. I'm not doing a great job. The citizens are doing a great job. We have an engaged community now. It's bottoms up. It's very easy. It's not rocket science. You need to get the public engaged. And we have a lot of talent in Easton that's starting to give of that talent freely. So I don't ever see myself moving anywhere else except back to the private sector if I was not going to run or if I lost.
I've got to skip a couple of questions. Let me ask you this last question. What's up with that cheery disposition thing of yours? I mean, you know,
had a bad day.
I never had a bad day. What is up with that?
I mean, it's the way you look. Is the glass half full or half empty? It's always half full for me.
I'm the cup is half empty on a good day kind of guy, you know?
Well, you know what? You know, I really believe that the CEO of any company needs to set the tone for the entire organization. And I want our City Hall employees and our public employees, whether they be police, fire, Department of Public Works, whomever they are, to always treat the public with a good attitude. If I don't have that good attitude, I can't expect that. When that young person comes in or that elderly person comes in and wants to yell and scream at me, their garbage wasn't picked up, their snow wasn't plowed, if I don't react the way I should react, then I can't expect the employees to do the same thing. And I hope that my cheeriness, as you call it, really starts to rub off, because it has. Our police officers now stop and talk to people. I got to tell you, I mean, I told you, our fire, that didn't happen 20 years ago. Oh, we had a few. But I'm talking to firefighters as a whole. Our Department of Public Works helping people cross the street when they're tarring an intersection. I mean, that's what makes me happy, because I really believe that if you take a job with government, you are not a public servant. But you are certainly there to service the public. And that's important to me, how you treat them.
Sal Panto, the mayor of Easton for life, it seems. Yeah. And Sal, it's been a pleasure working with you for many years. And I appreciate you being on the show and sharing your thinking with the listeners of WDIY.
Glad to come anytime, Alan. It's the things that you do and your organization. I mean, the West Ward wouldn't be what it is today without West Ward Neighborhood Partnership, without Lafayette Bank and
Easton
Hospital,
and
Air Products. Of course, Air Products.
Wells Fargo.
This is going to be great. I'm looking forward to
May
17th. Next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Those are really good things that are happening in our community, and they're happening at the neighborhood level. I get blamed a lot for being only caring about downtown. If the public really knew, I ran for this job because I saw what was happening in the neighborhoods. I saw the blight, the deterioration, and that's why I ran again. I didn't run for the downtown. although business taxes are up 25%, if you ask why, what's happening, when you have good businesses and business growth, you can you don't have to rely so much on residential taxes.
Sal Panto, and the last song for Sal Panto, and it's an Italian guy singing. Go ahead, Otto.
And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I traveled each and
you're listening to WDIY Allentown, 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. Celtic Fair is next.